chapter 2 of part 3. So all that we've got to do today is on pages 198 and 199. Mrs. Goldberg, good evening. Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Now, pages 198 and 199. So this is really the summary of all that that went before. V'hinei acharei ha'yos gezeinas chochmosu shiriyah bo'olam tevzero. Now this is a decree of God that there is to be in the world good and evil. Now we are just summing up the whole chapter. This was God's decree that in the world there should be good and evil. Or yo hasidu she motzei the emes ora b'chol ha-madreike she'efsha leuli motzei. And since that is the decree of God, then it is necessary that evil should be found everywhere. It is to be found, and on all levels, it's got to be found. That is God's decree. So it's found in every man. There is evil, believe it or not. So there's just no doubt about it. It can't be different. In every place, there is good and there is evil. Where there is kedusha, where there is holiness, there is tumor, there is defilement. Where there is the most holiness, there is the possibility for the greatest tumor also, for the great defilement. So that is something that we've got to appreciate. There's good and evil, and the evil penetrates into every crevice of human life. You will find good and you will find evil. Just can't be otherwise. But that, of course, is only the beginning of the story. The story has a middle and the story has an end, too. So let us see what else happens. The Yehova Avodah Odom Shehimna Mimenu Hashlita Vapurah. And the Avodah of man is. Now, that is not an easy word to translate, Avodah. But we'll come to it in a moment. So the purpose of man, the work of man, is to prevent evil having dominion and pu'ulo, and to prevent it from having an effect on the human being. Now that's the middle of the story. So the beginning of the story is that wherever there is good, there is evil. It must be, it penetrates everywhere. But the middle of the story is a man's avodah, man's purpose on earth is to prevent evil ruling, and secondly, to prevent it having any effect on the person. That is his great avodah. That is the middle of the story. And the middle of the story is the most important part of the story. I'm sorry we were cut off in that telephone. And now, I just want to spend a little time on the word avodah. It's there isn't really the equivalent of that word in English. Avodah can be labor, it can be work, it can be service. There is a little bit of that idea, in an expression that is used. Now, I don't know whether it's still done in England, but it was done until only 20 or 30 years ago. And that is that when the Prime Minister wrote to anybody, let us say I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister and I asked him something, he would answer the letter and he would sign it, "Your faithful servant, Winston Churchill." Your faithful servant. Is he my servant? What is all this about? Your faithful servant, Winston Churchill. But he is my faithful servant. He serves the land, he serves the country, he serves every citizen in the country. That is service. That is avodah. So it's not work. It's service to which glory is attached. And when he says, "Your faithful servant," it's not anything in which he diminishes his own stature. On the contrary, it raises his stature. That is who he is. Now, that is the best way I can explain to you the meaning of the word Avodo. Now, the service in the synagogue is called Avodo. It's called service. It's Avodo. The service of that took place in the Beis Hamikdash, that was Avodo. That is service. Now, it gives us some idea of what it is. We are here upon earth to serve Hashem. But we must regard it in exactly the same way as when I take the letter that Winston Churchill wrote me and he signs, "Your faithful servant, Winston Churchill." Doesn't reduce his stature in any way. Doesn't diminish him in any way. On the contrary, it raises him. That is our motto, and we are that to serve Hashem. That is a man's own purpose upon us. But to be understood on that level, and only on that level. Now, it's a difficult concept to get across, but that is the meaning of Avodo. That is man's purpose upon earth. And so, the middle of the story of Eva is that it is the Avodo of man, that's Avodo, to see that evil doesn't rule over good, and to see that it hasn't got any effect on oneself personally. That's the first thing, not on oneself personally. So he must struggle that he doesn't have dominion. It has no effect in all its ways, on every level, until it is removed entirely from the creation. And that is the end of the story. The beginning of the story is that God created evil and that it is everywhere, to be found everywhere. The middle of the story is that there is Avodo. This is our Vodas Hashem, this is our Vodas, this is our service to Hashem, this is what we are here for. On the same level as the prime minister is the servant of the land, of its people. He's there to serve it. We are here to serve Hashem. And the end of the story is that through our effort, we will remove evil completely. So there you've got the whole story in less than 3 lines, 4 lines. Yes, Sima. Well, there will come a time when there won't be any evil, and I must tell you, I'm very troubled about that. It means there is no challenge anymore. No evil. Very difficult thing. So I'm here for the service, and then it's taken away from me. I imagine I will feel something as much like Margaret Thatcher felt a few months ago, when she is no longer Prime Minister. I think she had a terrible time, but she made it known afterwards to be truthful. She was very sorry to give it up. That is something the way I would feel. Now, but there is a purpose in the evil. And the whole purpose is that we are able to build ourselves through the evil, overcoming it, you know what it means, working it to overcome it. We build our whole personalities up like that. Otherwise, we would be spineless creatures, boneless, like worms. Who wants to be like that? That's what we would have been like. So now the question is, so when there is no more evil in the world, where do we stand? What is going to happen then? Yes.
Hashem made an act, made a definition to have evil in the world and throughout the world and within each person. Yes, he told that we should try very hard to get rid of the evil. But some people work very, very hard to get rid of the evil, and by doing that they shape their character to become fine people, but some people don't.
Yes.
So those people perhaps make a mess of their life. Or that's down. So, sometimes it seems very difficult to understand why I can't put evil in the world.
That is exactly because of that. Mm-hmm. That is man does the right thing. He creates himself, he makes himself. To give him that right possibility, exactly that. If a person fails in it, he's failed, that's all. But because there are people who fail, It doesn't mean to say that people of the naked should be deprived of that great experience of having worked myself and created my own character. Now, in the course of my experience, I've seen both. I've seen those people who've risen to great heights by their own work, fighting with all evil, and I've seen people who have the greatest opportunities fallen right into it all, into the midst of all this evil. And that is where they are. Yes.
I'm wondering about you. You're talking about the possibility of a dangerous situation if there were no evil in the world. I'm wondering if evil is necessarily, if there is no evil, that means that there was, you know, strife and there's struggle. But I can almost see that even in total goodness, there can still be strife and challenges and feelings of accomplishment within
the
world of some.
That's right. That is the answer. That is the answer. That in in good itself there are levels. And then one can go from one level to another. But it is the preparation for it all has got to be evil and good. It's clear. It's clear that there is evil and there's good. We've got it a little bit more. That is right. That is the salvation of it all. That even when Mashiach comes, then we will be on that level. That we will be able, in good to struggle, in good to rise, from one level to ever higher level. Yes, Fatima?
I just wonder,
What would make them different is because mankind would have had the experience of very, of starting from the bottom and know all the pitfalls. That experience would have been there. All that heaven came on from there. But by the way, there is that verse in Isaiah, Yotzei Ol Uvolei Choshech. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yotzei Ol Uvolei Ra. That God formed light and he created evil. And we have a word to say about that a little bit later. That God actually created evil. Formed life, and at the same time he created evil. Now, let's go on from the Ulam. Top of page 200-201. The Ulam, however. Tiresh, although his Borisham, he may meet us in Yonah, show Leum in men who call me, she saw him, she hear you. The Moshe goes up to the Fedek Alam, Fedek Alam. He said, now, you will see that as far as the Almighty is concerned, the reality of his essence is such that there is no type of deficiency there. There is nothing deficient in Hashem. The rak babruim efeshi motzua chesonis voro. It is only in creatures, in that which has been created, that one finds deficiencies and evil. In Hashem, it's nothing like that at all. We may have you a sidushi boru madreka stove labruim. And therefore, there is an order that there are degrees of good in everything that has been created. For all creatures, there are degrees of good. Now, but parallel with that, there has also been created the opposite, which is evil. That is, that there is a possibility that in everything there can be evil. But your vocal organ barbers or so. And man, through his avoda, coming to the middle of the subject, through his avoda, the yosin may yona umina bria gures oracula, through man's effort, he is able to remove evil from him and also from the whole of creation. So it's possible that through man's effort, he can remove evil from the whole of creation. And we don't know, when Mashiach comes, we still don't know how it will be. Will it be those who want to comfort us and those who want to intoxicate us with feeling well and those who want to put us under the influence of a narcotic, feel that Mashiach will come and everything will be just wonderful, there will be no evil, the food will be so good, and the drink will be so good. That's not Mashiach's coming. Mashiach's coming, we don't know whether we will still have to go through that by our efforts we will eliminate evil, we will destroy evil altogether from the world. Now, I just want to, this has been a caravan about a little bit. Let us just bring it to our own level, come out to our own level. In our ordinary lives, we find exactly the same thing. The example I very often give you, that in one's companionship, in one, the people with whom one mixes, sometimes get an evil man coming into the society. You sometimes find an evil person coming into your home, and he contaminates the home. Speaks Rosh and Hora. Denigrates that which is holy. Has no sense of values. There's a whole evil influence there in the home. Now, gradually, one builds up on one's home, and one eradicates that. And one finds that one brings into the home a spirit of condition, a spirit of holiness, and a spirit of goodness. That one is able to do. So one can bring it into oneself, one can bring it into one's home. And from there it spreads further. Then there are two homes, and then there are three homes, and then there is a community, and from there it spreads further. But that is Avodah. That is what we do. That is part of the Avodah. That is the Avodah itself. So I cannot stress the Avodah sufficiently, and I'm trying very hard this evening to give you an understanding of this word Avodah, for which there is no equivalent in English, nor in any other language. This type of service. And that is our purpose here.
Yes. I'm trying to a better idea of Avodah also, but is it when a person and you have someone who is evil in your home sometimes, then how does their voting help? How does it work? I know that there's a voting in the shul. They have a...
Works in your home. You try and keep your home clean, mm-hmm. even under the most difficult of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, there is a principle on which we work, mm-hmm. on which Torah people work, and that is, you do the best under the circumstances, provided it is all within the framework of the Torah. You can't do the best under the circumstances if it's out of the framework of the Torah. A person can't say, well, I can't make a living if I don't work on Shabbos. So it's the best under the circumstances. I work on Shabbos. I go to shul in the morning. I go to shul in the afternoon. I will eat a chont on Shabbos. I will eat a tefillah fish. I will do the best under the circumstances. But it's the best under the circumstances. I've got to work. That you can't do. That's out of the framework. It's the best under the circumstances, but you can't do that which is wrong. But at the same time, I must tell you that this principle on which I work, and I teach you, although I don't want you to use it, I would rather you ask me the questions and I use it on you. And the reason is, Ein Magale elevates you. There are certain things which one doesn't reveal, only it's new. Rachel, help me translate that into English. I never tell you, it's new, you don't know what that means. It's new in Sanua. It's new in. Sadi noon, both iron, you men. It's new in. You know, you understand the concept? The Machshava. Literally, it means you only reveal this to people who can keep it covered up. That's literal. The best thing is always to translate it. You only reveal it to people who can keep it covered up. The people who tell everything, speak of everything. It's always what is up and looming is up and soon. That means that which is deep down is immediately on the tongue. You don't tell that to this type of person. Aina Magale Elovitsni. There are things you are Magale Elovitsni. Don't tell everybody. So, I'm not doing wrong by telling you, but one of the principles at which I work is the best under the circumstances. But it must be clearly understood that the best can only be in the framework of the Torah. That's all you can mean. Can't go out of that framework. And the framework of the Torah is the Shulchan Aruch. So it is. The Shulchan Aruch has got its source. And its source is the Gemara, and the Gemara's got its source, and that's the Mishnah, and the Mishnah's got its source, and that's the Torah, and the Torah's got its source, and what's the source of the Torah? There we've got it. That's the only one thing we are permitted to do. Otherwise, we're not allowed to do this. All right? So, as I say, in the case there's evil everywhere, and you do the best under the circumstances. So man is the part of his avodah is to do away with evil altogether. And he must fix into himself and into the creation as a whole and to all eternity must have only Torah in himself and in all, must fix it in himself and in all eternity that there is only good. And so, therefore, the order that Hashem has created in the world is that for every level of goodness, there is parallel with that and equal with that the level of evil. And that's what the Torah tells us. Come ezel umazeo so oraleh. God made one parallel with the other. Good parallel with evil. So both are found in this universe, and one would think that they have equal force, with the exception. I tell you. Next paragraph. And it is only in one aspect that good has an advantage over evil. Because if both were exactly the same strength, you couldn't move. Only in one aspect has good advantage over evil. What is that aspect, would you say, without looking further? Pardon? What is that aspect? There's one aspect in which good has an advantage over evil. God made them with equal strength, such strength. Evil has got such strength. It's not the point. There's a point in it, a very simple point that you should be able to get. Good is there. Evil has been created. Good is there. Evil has been created for a purpose. God created evil. No, God created evil. Had to create it. Because hadn't he created it, wouldn't have been there. Hashem is only good. What he creates is only good. So, in order for there to be evil, Uvolera, he created evil. And that is what he says. There's only in one aspect that good is greater as an advantage over evil. The root of goodness is Hashem, who is perfect. And he always was and always will be. There's no beginning and no end. The hora ainu eladov nivro. Evil is something that's been created. Lishe yevutal. It has been created, and with the idea that it is to be demolished, that one day it is to be demolished. The ainu leshamis elakol zman haistavish elodov shezuchad nevara. And it is only there to serve man's struggle, so that man has got the struggle. That is what it is there for. Yes, ma'am.
You said at the very beginning that Satan formed man and created evil. He formed man from goodness because that was already there.
Yes.
Goodness is there. So has everything been formed rather than created except the evil which was created? And the things were just really formed, and the earth was formed from the goodness that was there?
No, you've got to say that the sun was created.
Was it formed from goodness?
No. The sun was created. Man wasn't formed from goodness. Man was formed from the dust of the earth. But his character that Hashem breathed into him was goodness. But at the same time, he breathed into him the Yetzer Hara also. But the Yetzer Hara is there to serve a very great purpose.
Breathe into him, or
just put it into him? Yes, that's a metaphoric way of putting it. By Yipa, I shall breathe into him, Nishmas Chayim, the Neshoma of the living Neshoma, breathe into that. Yes? Because I shouldn't first create it, there is nothing there. Torah is Yeshve Ayin, created out of nothing, there is nothing there. Yotza is when there is something, then it can form. But when there is the dust of the earth, Hashem can form it into a man. But he's got to create the dust of the earth. There was absolutely nothing. So Trio is the first active creation. Are we gone? No. Bolei Rai created evil. Yotze Oru, Bolei Rai created evil. Evil just created that there should be evil. It was very difficult, so if I can use the expression, for attempt to do so in our understanding, that he created evil, so that now there is evil in the world. Wanted there to be evil. Now, it explains a lot, it explains a lot of the things that happen in the world, you see, whether on the personal level, whether on the national level, whether on the universal level. I mean, this whole, these two episodes of which we have lived. And if you are all too young to have experienced both these great experiences, it is sufficiently near to us in history for you to be well acquainted with them. And one is the experience of communism. How devastating that was. What an evil power that was. The world doesn't realize what the power of communism was. It was one of the greatest scams, is that what they call it in California? One of the greatest scams in history. Where people like Marx and like Lenin got together and they decided that they would enslave the whole of the Russian people, make slaves out of them, to serve their own people, purpose. And they would live the life, which they did. Enslaved the whole of the Russians, made the Russians believe that they were, that this was, everything was theirs, and they're going to have everything, and enslaved them. Hitler did exactly the same thing. Talked them into it that every person would have a motor car. And he would build Volkswagen for every person. He built a tank for every person. Talked them all into it. But those are two examples of evil. And just look at the damage that has done, how devastating it was. And so this explains a lot. We can understand a lot what has taken place in the world. Yes.
So are you telling us that part of the way the evil manifests
itself in speech? Manifests itself in every imaginable way.
Is speech one of the
most common? Of course, one of the things is speech. There is that remarkable passage in Amos where it's just it's worthwhile referring to it. Kinei yotzei horim uvorei ruach umagid lo odom mar sichel. Amos says that Hashem forms mountains and creates the wind and tells man what his speech is. Umagid lo odom mar sichel tells man what his speech is that on the Olam or Emes when we face our Creator, then what Hashem does is He tells you what you've spoken in your lifetime. Not only does he tell you, but you hear it. There is a record. And afterwards they changed it to tapes. So there is a tape and puts on the tape and there it is. You've got it and you hear everything. This is what he says. He tells man what is his speech. But what is he'll say roaring Boreua? He forms mountains and he creates the wind and tells man what he's speaking. What does one have to do with the other? It doesn't make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, what do we know? You think there is gold, there is oil. And you start digging, and you're bound to find something. What is it? What is the connection? He forms mountains, and he creates a wind. Which is stronger, the mountains or the wind? The wind is stronger than the mountains. You can't see it. It's got no substance. And it's stronger than the mountains. It can black the mountains. I give you order, my sister. Tell us now what is speech. Is that his speech? What is it? You're not doing anything. You're not killing anybody. You're not wounding anybody. You're not bruising anybody. What is it? It's the same relationship to man as the wind is to the mountains. So strong that is the power of speech. For evil and for good. That's why we've got speech. And this is things that people just don't realize what speech is. They try and teach a monkey to speak. Never do. They try and understand what the dolphin says. Never do. Signs, yet. An animal can have signs, but not speech. That's only to man. Can't do anything else. Yes, Hannah?
Is there even
then
in the natural world?
Yes, of course, there's evil in the natural world, there's evil even in the plant world. And that is why we've got poisonous plants and nettles and what have we got in California? Poison ivy, poison oak, and all that sort of thing. Of course, the evil goes all over. Once there is evil, then it goes all over. Man sets the pattern. Man sets the pattern. And once man sets the pattern, then it goes all over. It penetrates everywhere. Those are other things that come. But there is something else, and that is the overall picture is that there's only good. The overall picture. When everything is taken into consideration, then there's only good. At the end of it all, when everything is taken into, everything is done only for good. The thing is that we can't see it. There's a famous example that is given by the Fathers Alavovas. And the Fathers Alavovas says, there are people who go further and further from God because they see that there's suffering in the world and all that, and they don't understand it. He said, it's like a philanthropist decides he's going to build a hospital for blind people in order to cure them. So he brings them all into the hospital, and he has the hospital fitted out in the most wonderful way. And then he's got physicians in the hospital, and the physicians are there to cure the people's blindness. And for surgery, they're all tables, they're surgical tables, and what to do with it. And these blind people come in, and they start wondering about the hospital. They don't wait for instructions, and the physicians say, please, stay where you are. You'll be taken to your rooms. Don't walk about. No, they persist walking about, tapping everything. This one falls and breaks a leg. This one falls and he bruises himself. And they come, they say, what kind of a philanthropist is this? What has he done to us? Look what he's done to us. So as Al-Buddha says, that is man in this universe. Doesn't realize what it's all about. But the things that happen, in taken all together, he says, adds up to good. However much one suffers and all that, in the entire picture, then it adds up to good. All right, but this is that, yes?
Yotzei
Baruch Hashem, Yotzei Olu Olu Ra, who created Yotzei Olu, who formed light and created darkness.
Well, if going from the force of Omos, Yotzei Baruch Hashem, and the wind that is stronger than the mountain, that is seeing that they're parallel, he's saying that there is evil is stronger than the wind.
No, he doesn't say that the Ruach is evil.
No.
He doesn't say that speech is evil.
It's borrowed.
Yes.
Because the Ruach, the wind is stronger than the mountain. And the mountain was only formed, but the Ruach was created.
You've got to understand this. It is all that the Yotzeir is, that Yotzeir Horeb. Hashem formed the mountains. There was the stones. The dust was there. The offal was there. That is what he created. From that, he didn't create mountains. From that, he formed mountains. Wind, even in sense of wind, he created wind. Doesn't mean that that is stronger. No, doesn't mean to say it's stronger. It's just it's the sequence is different. That's all. It doesn't mean to say it's stronger. But that is the juxtaposition of the words there. All right. We've got a pretty good idea. But as I say, this explains to us a lot of the things that we've seen happening in the world. I mean, so much evil. In Russia, there was so much evil. In Germany, so much evil. It's unbelievable. That is the evil that there was. So we've got examples of that, how powerful the evil is. And our duty is to see that the evil doesn't dominate. That is our work. That is our avail. Yes, this is.
The concept of an evil person, first of all, how can one tell the person's evil? And secondly, most of us encounter evil people. I mean, it sounds like something that most of us, an evil person, is sitting down and everything. But an evil person would be a person that evil was stronger than that.
Exactly.
So most of us encounter these people in our everyday life.
I don't know what sentence you mean.
I just don't know if I've ever known a person that I would say that person.
You
evil.
See, the thing is, you've got to be very careful. You can get a person that keeps all the mitzvahs. Yes. That is an evil person.
That's my next question.
And you can get a person who's not true at all. But he's a good person.
Mm-hmm. How can you tell a person who's evil? They're often very charming,
okay? Well, I suppose that belongs a little bit to the next chapter when he's going to speak about Ruach HaKodesh and the Ruach. But there are ways in which one can tell. You can tell by a person's speech, you can tell very much what kind of a person he is. And as I say, you get people that, I've got a friend, we are very, very great friends, and he wasn't at all religious. Now he's becoming a little bit religious, but he was not at all religious. And there was something happened once, and they wanted him just to say something bad about a person who was his principal. He was very young, he was only about 17 years of age. Couldn't get him to move on that. Such pressure, couldn't get him to move on that. Threats and pressure, just wouldn't. A very good person. A very good person. Doesn't take anything. Today, I don't know how much it keeps, but today he's moving a little bit closer to religion. He's my age. We've been great friends all our lives. Very, very good person. So you've got to be very careful of that sort of thing. Rambam says, the man is a maneuver, the Shusatel, he does everything according to him, he's a maneuver, he's a despicable person. So be very careful. And that is why Avraham Avinu could have had his servant's daughter. She was religious. She believed only in one God. And he says to his servant, you take a wife, go back from where I come. They were idolaters there. They were idolaters. You know what an over the others is. And here you've got a man who's believed in God and his daughter believes in God. And the Avraham's evil. But their characters are good. Their leaders are good. That's far more important. My uncle used to speak about it. He said, a man who's got his hashkofas are wrong, but his leaders are good. You can get in line. But a man whose hashkofas are right and his leaders are wrong, he said, to get him right, I'm not using my uncle's words, I'm using my own words. It's the devil's own job to do. It is a bad thing. That character, everything. In the final analysis, it boils down to character. Got it? You still want to know how to tell.
Yes,
you are a judge, you are a king. The new domain is to where you are, where you live. You cultivate that up, each person can make that up. Then one does it, one is able to, it doesn't take very long, one is able to tell.
What is that?
I was asked a question at the shul on Sunday morning. When I tell the story of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyah, when people, two workmen, came and put two bags of barley into his safekeeping. And they were poor people. This was part of their what they earned. They were going back home. But they didn't come back. They were supposed to come back migratory labouring, and the economy changed. It wasn't necessary for them to come back. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyah takes it all and he sells it. So is the bag. Then it goes. You can imagine how many bags he's got now. He hires land, he rents land, he sells the land. More, he rents storehouses to put in all the grain, to put in all the barley. 7 years later, the men come. They said, can we have our two bags of grain? He says, come, I'll show you the two bags of grain. Takes them out and says, you see that the row of warehouses? He says, yes. He says, it's all yours, it's grain, all yours. Fill the grain, that's all yours. So I was asked the question, what would have happened had he taken the two bags of grain and it perspired and didn't rain and he lost the two bags of grain? What would he have done? And then he was a tzaddik. He knew that if he does the right thing, it will be, there'll be Birkas Hashem, it will be the blessing. But assuming that happened, I know what he would have done. He would have made good the two bags of grain. I said, now look what happened with the SNL. Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Look what happened with the SNL. Look what just happened. These people, just look what they did. They've got money. Just look what they did. None of that money goes to the poor people. I know one particular case where the trustee is making millions. He's the trustee, he's the attorney. And for everything he does, $100,000, $250,000, $150,000, millions he's making. And he's the attorney. Nothing of that money all comes from what has been salvaged. Nothing for the people to put in the money. Nothing there for them. He takes it all. And just look what I had a person in Johannesburg, a member of my congregation. He had a business in Cape Town. He went bankrupt, owed a lot of money, came back, came to Johannesburg, joined my congregation, started a business, and just went his way. Paid back every penny. He was bankrupt. He didn't have to pay back. Paid so much in the pounds, didn't have to pay back. Paid back every single penny that he had lent him. Do you remember who it was?
No.
He had a business in the 20th century watches. They were, when he died, his wife was named, but it said he had two sons. The same as he came in. Can't remember the name. He's very good to us. That watches. In the 20th century, building, remember 20th century? Mm-hmm. Upstairs. Mm-hmm. Very goodness. But I can't remember the name. She was very friendly with Mrs. Keller. Pay back every penny. That is a good man. Betty. I know that for that he's being a good person. He's a good person. He wasn't true, he didn't keep Shabbos. Didn't know anything. He's a good person. You know what that means? So you've got to, these things one has to know. Yes?
When Mashiach is revealed, what do we know about the power of speech to eradicate evil?
You don't need Mashiach for that.
You say when
Mashiach comes, speech will be used only for good.
But will the power of speech that comes from Mashiach?
The power of speech doesn't come from Mashiach. It comes from the person himself.
No, but Mashiach will be a person, and he will have speech. So what I'm asking is, his presence in the world with his speech, will this form a balance to radical
evil. You don't have to wait for Mashiach. You do it straight away. That's your avoda. Mashiach is an escape also. Just be aware of that. Everything will be fine. Just Mashiach, Mashiach. So worry only about Mashiach. You worry about yourself. You do the right thing.
I just can't control that. I just have to answer Betty's question. If there's someone that one has unavoidable contact with in one's life that you know is not a person of good needos, you know, that voted around the pier for works in the soul, nobody can stand them. And one cannot.
No, I don't know whom you're referring to. There is a person like that.
Then it's not this soul.
Right.
But if one cannot avoid contact.
Yeah, what did I tell you? What's the principle? You do the best under the circumstances. As long as you don't go outside the deep. You have to apply that principle.
The one tries to minimize
contact. Well, as to apply that principle, you do the best under the circumstances. That's what you do. Yes, you see why.
Well,
Hashem
created evil on earth,
but that
man overcome it. Why did
Hashem
create evil on
Shemayim? Why is it bad to do Hishtal Shemayim? There isn't really evil to quite that extent. It has to do with Hishtal Shemayim. The power of it must come from much higher. And we're going to get a lot of that in the next chapter, where we're going to get what the power of evil is so great. And we've got the Sar Shel Esav. It's a power of evil. And we've got against the Jew. It's a power of evil against the Jew. We've got to fight about it. But this helps us to understand it all. The power of Esav is a very strong power. Power against the Jew. But you've got no idea. I say you've got no idea because I've spent a lot of years on this. How strong that power is, and how it presents itself in so many different guises. And just look what it does in America. In America, the way it presents itself is where the power of Esav says, come, just be one of us. This is America, free for everybody, freedom. Democracy. And what does the Jew do? Democracy is Judaism. And rabbis preach it from the pulpit. Democracy, it's nonsense. There's no democracy. Which doesn't mean to say that democracy isn't the best form of government under the circumstances. That's a different story. But to say that it's the most ideal, government by the people, who are the people? Are the majority of the people who govern? Are they clever or are they not clever? Who are the majority? And they are the people who govern. That's democracy. Torah is a pro-democracy. No democracy in the Torah. And yet they preach, rabbis preach, not in Orthodox synagogues, that the Torah is democracy. That's nonsense. But that is the influence of Esav. That is the power of Esav. To make us to cease, make us cease being Jews. Do it. Some do it by changing religion. Some just by giving away everything. Here you've got everything. Just be one of us. And Jews fall for it to such an extent. Right, that is as far as we go tonight. I was hoping that we would just finish the chapter, but it's not so important. We've got the essence of it in last week's shiur, in this week's shiur. You've got the essence of the whole story. Don't forget the three stages. The creation of evil, the struggle against evil, and the eradication of evil. Those are the three stages. And I must tell you, I find this not at all sad. I find it very elevating that I am here for this purpose. This is my avodah. This is my service. I find this very elevating. But anything that hits reality must be elevating and must bring one joy. once it hits reality. Explains so much, you can understand so much. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much. Before you leave, I simply want to...